Good morning. I'm Robert Woolsey, Raven Radio News Director, and I'm joined over Zoom today by Cliff Groh. Hi, Cliff.
Hi, Rob.
Cliff is a familiar name and voice for many Sitkins. If you were around in the early part of this century, he was our municipal attorney and a high-profile persona, if I might say, Cliff. I don't think anybody would dispute that you weren't front and center often in the news. You know, they're sitting at the assembly table.
Comes with a job, sir. And there were certainly no shortage of controversial matters at that time.
Definitely not. But we're not going to reminisce about that so much today. Instead, we're talking about your new booklets. Your new book and booklet and mini version, all of the same. All by the same title, Peril, Possibilities, and a Path, Flight to Somewhere.
Alaska's Flight to Somewhere.
Oh, Alaska's Flight to Somewhere.
Yeah, right. I'm zeroed in, Mr. Woolsey, on our state's enormous fiscal crisis and the options for addressing it. And as you suggested, I've put together a graphic publication in two versions, soon to be three, about just how bad off our state is now in terms of paying for the vital public services Alaskans use, and the various ways that our state could address that.
Well, I'm going to say the title correctly just once. Peril, Possibilities, and a Path, Alaska's Flight to Somewhere. It's a graphic guide to Alaska's fiscal crisis and options for pulling ourselves out of it. And pulling out of it, I think, is an apt metaphor, since the cover of this document shows Alaska's finances doing a controlled, what do you call it?
Controlled flight into terrain. This is a common finding in post crash investigations of aircraft, that the pilot was in control of the flight, and for whatever reason, either inattention, bad weather, crashes into terrain, in the case of this particular cover, a mountainside.
All right. Well, Cliff, let's take it from the beginning. Tell us about your legislative history and how you became involved with Alaska's finances, and how you gained the level of expertise that you need to even write a comic book about the state's finances.
I would say graphic, not precisely a comic book. Yeah, I wrote all the text. And certainly have no skill at either doing cartoons, and I'm not real good at doing Excel graphics. But I wrote all the text and directed the publication. I'm lifelong Alaskan, born and raised in the state, followed the news about our state throughout my life, but became very involved. And I know it's hard, Rob, because, you know, as you know, I look like a kid, and as your listeners know, I sound like a kid. But approximately 40 years ago, actually just 40 years ago, in the I became interested in working for the legislature, and I got a job for the legislature in 40 years ago, upcoming session.
1982?
Yeah. 1981. And right. Started in 1981. I started preparing to work in the legislature in the fall of 1980. And then I got a job in the 1981 session, worked in 1981, 1982. I was heavily involved in the successful effort to create the permanent fund dividend we have today. I've written by far the most about that of anybody in the world. And I've been asked, I've contributed, co-authored and authored chapters and academic books about it. I've been asked now to become a lead author of a book about the dividend, of an academic book about it. So that was my role in the early 80s. Then later in the 1980s, I was a special assistant to the Commissioner of Revenue in the administration of Governor Steve Cooper. And in that capacity, as special assistant to the Commissioner of Revenue, I was heavily involved in the successful effort to change oil taxes. It raised oil taxes on net and lowered them on some other fields. But raise them overall. Then I became involved as a citizen with an organization called Alaska Common Ground, which I had been on the board of for more than 20 years, most of his existence, and served as chair between 2014, 2018. I resigned as chair, but have remained on the board. But I have become convinced, and actually for most of the past 6 years, is either chair of Alaska Common Ground or in my new private capacity as just Cliff Grove citizen entirely, I've been very concerned and have worked mostly in the last, over the last 6 years, on Alaska's grave fiscal crisis that, and so I spent all kinds of time writing op-eds, letters to the editor. I have been in, helped organize and participate as a panelist or an MC or a presenter in dozens of presentations and events about this. And the problem I noticed, Rob, was that the problem kept getting worse. So I decided I needed to do something. Despite all my efforts, I needed to branch out and grow multimodal. So this year, I went two different directions. I engaged a cartoonist and some Excel specialists, and I produced these publications, and one publication in various versions. And then I also started making YouTube videos at least once a week on the depth of our problem. And as I said, what the actual the options are to address it.
Okay. Yeah, I watched one of your YouTube videos. I think it's, I wouldn't advise you to give up your day job, but you don't have a day job, so.
Hey, I'm an analyst and an author. That's okay. That's my day job. You know, well, somewhere I haven't turned a lot of that into a lot of money. Actually, I'm paying, but I'm doing the best I can.
Well, in all seriousness, I appreciate having watched the videos and having looked at the flight to somewhere, your graphic guide to Alaska's physical crisis, that you are someone who came of age in Alaska before we had oil, and you launched your professional career at the beginning of that time when we had to figure out what to do with all this wealth.
And now
40 years later, here you're sort of in the twilight of your career. So am I. You know, we all get to this point.
And, speak for yourself, Mr. Wolsey.
and you look back and you have to wonder where were the missteps? I mean, what didn't you anticipate back in 1982 that has happened to create a crisis when literally for 20 years money was pouring into the state of Alaska like a river?
Well, you know, I knew, actually, I thought in the early 1980s when I worked for the Alaska legislature, I thought we'd reach this day, and the projections then were that we would reach it earlier. The pipeline has lasted longer and it's had more oil flow through it over a longer period of time than was widely believed would occur in the early, you know, the projection in the early 70s and early 80s was pipeline might be closed down by now. So we've extended this day off, but I knew it would be coming. I guess looking back, I wished two things or three things. I wish we'd saved more. I wish we'd spent less, and I wish we'd taxed ourselves more. But it's sort of like, and Rob, you're a model of fitness and health, and probably it's embarrassing to your other coworkers how many burpees you can do compared to them, right? But I would say that you would probably even say that if you had done more push-ups and more sit-ups back 20 years ago, you'd be better off now. I know I would be. And that's sort of the same situation for Alaska. We need to not spend all our savings. We need to see if there are some budget reductions we can make, although the easy ones have all been basically been made. And we definitely need to tax ourselves like every other state does. Every other state has a broad-based tax, either an income tax or statewide sales tax, or both. Alaska is the only state in the country with neither.
Well, Cliff, these are not the kind of things that you can build a political campaign around. I talked to Senator Bert Stedman, who was reelected for his, his fifth term in the Alaska Senate, and he was unopposed this year, but he was frustrated that there were some of his Senate peers were elected on platforms of paying a full dividend and paying back dividends.
Robert, it's even worse than, and I say this with the creators of dividend, it's not so much even paying the, the full dividend on the based on the statutory formula. There's a lot of people who ran for office and some who got elected on the basis of paying the back dividends. If you paid the back dividends and followed other legal provisions, but primarily basically paying the back dividends, you immediately create a deficit of in the upcoming fiscal year of $3,300 per Alaskan. I mean, every man, woman, and child in Alaska would have, that's what the size of the deficit would be from that action alone. Additionally, another commonly discussed proposal for dealing with Alaska is equally wrongheaded, which is the idea that we can cut our way out of this alone. Budget that Governor Dunleavy proposed last year, which of course was not enacted, the one proposed in February of 2019, but a lot of people came out and opposed. But even that, those cuts to K through 12 education that were included in those proposed budget cuts were enacted, the home school district of Governor Dunleavy, the Madison School District, said that that would result in a number of classrooms having 50 students in them. And the Madison School District pointed out, I perceive accurately, that many of their classrooms could not hold 50 students legally. And even if they could, I think that would be a bad outcome for the school children of Alaska. What I strongly urge people to do is to embrace reality and flee from fantasy. When unfortunately people have been hugging fantasy and fleeing from reality, and the two most fantastic ideas that have been discussed recently are paying all the back permanent fund dividends according to the statutory formula created back in the early 1980s, at the time, basically the time when I was there working in the legislature, or alternatively, this idea that you can solve Alaska's enormous fiscal crisis by cutting the budget alone. Both of those ideas would leave us in Alaska that most Alaskans would not want to live in.
Yeah, it's amazing how the backlash that you hear and how unpalatable it sounds to institute a broad-based tax in Alaska. When I know that people of your Alaskans of your generation, you experienced. We had a state income tax from statehood to 1980, and it wasn't a very heavy tax. And I don't think you're proposing that we institute some sort of onerous tax. In fact, it would be one of the lightest tax burdens in the nation.
That's correct. We have by far the lowest tax burden in the nation. And we would still have one of the very lowest if we enacted a broad-based tax, but we just wouldn't have the only state without one. Where we are now can't work. We're going to go someplace else. Like I said, there's going to be a flight to somewhere. The question is where we land. And a lot of the ideas that are the most popular and commonly discussed fly us straight into the mountainside. That's a bad outcome. And that's one that I oppose, trying to get Alaskans to understand. I also would say that we need what's sometimes called the grand bargain. Although Alaska has one of the smallest populations of any state, we have the most complicated fiscal politics in the country. Obviously New York, Illinois, Chicago, Texas, Oklahoma all have larger populations. And I'm not saying our fiscal policy is the most complicated, although it's pretty complicated. Our fiscal politics, the number of sides involved, are the most complicated. And one way to see that is the increasing tendency toward legislative coalitions and legislative bodies in the House and Senate. Something that my son, a guy that, a former Sitka resident, he was worked in politics and government around the United States, he's sort of shocked by it. Because, like I said, Alaska has the most complicated fiscal politics in the country. And that means we have to have a multi-sided solution to fix this very great problem. We just spent through the savings like crazy. It's just hard to describe how much we have gone through this and how bad we off we are now.
Yeah, and the other pots of money that are available are like power cost equalization, which is already dedicated to other purposes like keeping utilities affordable in rural Alaska. So suddenly things that were undebatable are going to be debated in Juneau come January. So Cliff, how do you get the message out? How are you distributing your booklet?
Well, I offer it for free at my website. It's free for download at my website, www.cliffgrow.org. Cliff Grow is, it's, I always say my name is easy to remember because it sounds sort of like a fertilizer, like Miracle-Gro or Quick-Gro. Well, it didn't even make sense, Kevin. But it's Cliff Grow is like falling off a cliff, C-L-I-F-F, and last name is G-R-O-H. So if you go to www.cliffgrow.org or to perhaps some other website, you can download it for free. My book and my booklet, and soon the mini version of 12 pages. Then you can also go, if you just to YouTube and type in Cliff Grow, you can look at my videos. You might make fun of the production values and the skill of the presenter, Mr. Woolsey, but I'm doing the best I can. To present at least once a week an aspect of Alaska's grave fiscal crisis and the options for addressing it.
Cliff, something that crossed my mind, I wanted to run by you as well, that there are people, let's say, who've been in the state, they arrived after 1980, and they haven't paid any state income tax. They never realized that Alaska used to have a state income tax. They have never paid any state sales tax on anything. And you look around cities like Anchorage and Fairbanks, even, and even places like Sitka, you see, you know, evidence of prosperity. And people are like, well, hey, if it ain't broke, you know, why fix it? How do you even open up a dialogue with people who don't realize that we've sort of been living in four decades of a golden era in this state, where not only do we not pay taxes, the state pays us? And how do you convince someone that there's a day of reckoning when, you know, everything looks like it's going so well?
Well, we've cut our capital budget way low, and we've cut the University of Alaska. And there's certain people you could ask who would know that there have been some substantial cuts. And it's only fated to get worse. I would hate to have it that the kids in the Sitka School District have to have 50 students per classroom for people to realize, oh no, this is not a good idea. Because that would be a real bad idea. My son, a former student there in the Sitka School District. And I'm obviously aware of a lot of other people who've gone there and I knew when I was living in Sitka. So I guess I go around and talk to people. I speak to whoever will offer me to speak. I put out these videos. I go around and promote my publication in its various versions. And I'm speaking, for example, one of my upcoming speaking engagements is before a club I used to be a member of when I lived in Sitka, the Sitka Rotary Club. I'm scheduled to speak there at the regularly scheduled meeting on Tuesday, February 16th, through via Zoom at 12 noon.
All right. And will you have distributed copies of your flight to somewhere, to all the members?
I'm going to all these legislators, all the staff members. Obviously, we're going to have a newly elected legislature. And I'm willing to talk to anybody. 4 years ago, I guess it will be 4 years ago this in January, I went to Juneau for the first 7 weeks of the session in 2017. COVID-19 might make that harder now, but I still might go to Juneau at the beginning of the session and hold events, talk to people, and try to help them understand just how bad our problems are. Because they're very bad, they're headed to get much worse and to disrupt Alaska life. I just think that would be a bad state of affairs for a state. I'm doing everything I can to prevent the worst outcomes.
Yeah, I think it's also important to remember that prior to 1980, Alaska was not exactly in terrible shape. I mean, we established the ferry system in 1964. the thing that we can't seem to afford to run now, we ran fine for 15, 16 years.
The time when we were worst off, Robert, was before we became a state. Back when we were territory, we were totally busted in 1948. The University of Alaska only stayed open by borrowing money from private individuals. So there was an election in 1948. A number of legislators were tossed out, and there was a special session before the 1949 legislature started, which is the one that enacted a number of taxes, but including the individual income tax. I don't think that's going to occur now, Robert. I would bet money against it that there'll be a special session before the legislative session starts in January to enact an income tax. But I do think that people need to recognize that Alaska saved itself at a time when it was destitute. And the state now needs to figure out what it's going to do. And I will tell you that earlier this year, when the price of oil went negative for a day, I mean, actually negative, it was not just fallen, but because of a strange aspect of the oil market. There were a lot of other bad news coming down on people speculated, is Alaska going to be the first state to devolve to revert to territorial status? Some of my friends kicked around the idea that Alaska would put itself up for auction and see if Russia or China would buy it, right? To, you know, try to like save its problems. I'm just saying that we're in bad shape. People do not recognize it. And obviously a lot of people focus on how bad off the economy is because of hits from COVID-19. But our state of Alaska's public finances are the most imbalanced and messy right now in any other place in the country. And we have to figure out how we're going to pay for the roads and the ferries, the schools, and the police protection from police and state troopers, as well as various other services. And Alaskans need to think about that real hard.
Well, I hope if Alaska goes up for sale, we'll be considered ahead on the list above Greenland. You know, put Alaska first. That, maybe that's our new motto.
There were a lot of wild ideas kicked around when people the lockdown first started, and there was all in the oil price war was created back last spring. I saw some zany stuff land in my email box.
Well, Cliff, I read the 39-page version of your booklet, and I learned a lot from it. And I think if anybody else were to get their hands on it, they'd find it a treasure trove of information. Mainly, just for your debunking a lot of the popular political misconceptions that we can cut our way out of this jam. We can increase oil production to solve the problem. We can boost the economy of the state. I mean, all these things sound good, but the structural deficit still remains. Even in some of these improving scenarios, we don't quite get there. So I definitely think it's worth a look. It's called Peril, Possibilities, and a Path, Alaska's Flight to Somewhere, a graphic guide to Alaska's physical crisis and options for solving them. Cliff, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Cliff Groh is a former Sitka municipal attorney. He lives in Anchorage now, has for quite a long time. He's been a legislative aide at the time that the permanent fund was just getting going. He was a special assistant to the Commissioner of Revenue in 1987 to 1990. And he's been a lecturer at UAA and probably the foremost expert on Alaska's permanent fund, and is it fair to say that you're also an expert on state finances, Cliff?
I'm an expert on state finances. Charles Wolfworth, the author, said I was the smartest analyst in Alaska. I'll let you decide on that. Your mileage might vary. But I would definitely, I'm a specialist and expert in Alaska state finances in various aspects.
All right. Well, thanks for going to the trouble of producing this book. I hope you're stuffing it in all 60 boxes, mailboxes in Juneau. And I really appreciate your taking the time to have a Zoom conversation with us here at KCAW.
Glad I can help. See you, sir.
Thanks so much, Cliff.
Thanks, Rob.